Welcome to the podcast series from the 9th EMN Educational Seminar on Migration 2023, entitled Protection of Migrants in Vulnerable Situations, organized by the European Migration Network in Slovakia. You're listening to the lecture on the power of passport by Simona Carnino. Simona is a freelance journalist and documentary filmmaker specializing in human rights. She covers the impact of structural violence and political, economic, and environmental conflicts on local and indigenous populations, with extensive reporting experience on forced migration from Latin America to the United States and Canada. During the lecture, Simona's documentary, The Power of Passport, was screened, followed by a discussion. Simona has directed a number of documentaries focused on human rights, capturing the human experience within socio-political struggles and giving voice to marginalized communities. Enjoy the lecture!
Thank you all for having me and for being here, especially after lunch. I really appreciate it. I just want to introduce myself a little bit more. I'm a freelance journalist and a filmmaker, and I have been living and working for more than 10 years between Europe and Latin America. Focus my work on human rights, environmental and migration issues. I have just come back to Europe again 2 days ago after a 6-month stay in Guatemala. So I'm a little bit disoriented, but I'm here physically and mentally, I hope. Before this, in 2017, I had the big opportunity to spend over a year living among the Maya Shil indigenous people based in Western Guatemala, where I deepened my understanding on migration issues in this region, and I met many people with a strong migratory background. Inspired by this experience, I used the powerful tool of video storytelling to give people with migratory background a chance to tell their stories from their own point of view by using their own words. I strongly believe in the power of the story because they can inspire us, and sometimes they contribute to make a change in our life and to change our thoughts sometimes. So the value of my contribution today is to share with you my documentary, my film, I produced in Guatemala and Mexico, and particularly focusing on the Maya Shil region, to give you an idea of the long-standing phenomenon of migrants from Central America trying to reach the US, the United States, facing many challenges when they are forced to migrate irregularly from their homeland. Through this documentary, the title is The Power of Passport, so the same title of the day. My primary goal was to highlight the unequal and asymmetric access to human mobility. As a journalist, I saw several borders in my life, and I have personally witnessed unequal access to the freedom of movement. I observe that in our worlds, basically, there are those who can travel freely and those who cannot. And this disparity depends on different reasons, but especially on the passport one holds. Millions of individuals, especially from Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East, hold passports with so many visa restrictions that prevent them to travel to most Western countries. Consequently, they must apply for a visa in advance, as we know. But strict economic requirements make it nearly impossible for them to obtain one. As a result, they are left with no choice but to undertake their migration journey as undocumented migrants, taking dangerous informal routes and relying on smugglers, which expose them to different kinds of violence. What I want to say, basically, is that migrating as undocumented migrants is never a choice. And I try to translate this idea into a story that was very difficult for me, but I think that we have a film, so maybe I did it. So the passport is one of the most important documents we possess. According to the Passport Index, a passport ranking tool that the professor showed today, the Slovak passport is ranked as the fifth most powerful passport in the world, together with the European Union and North American passports. That means that if you hold this passport, you can travel to 170 countries freely without the need to apply for a visa. So you have a very big power in your hands. You need to be aware of that. The Afghan passport is ranked as one of the least powerful passports in the world, as you said. So Afghan citizens have a visa-free access to only 40 countries. That means they don't have visa-free access, basically. This means that Afghan citizens must apply for a visa if they want to travel, but obtaining a visa for them is quite impossible due to economic requirements and the political instability of their country. But I think that very interesting is the comparison between passports. People holding a U.S. passport are allowed to stay at least for 90 days in Central America, 180 days in Panama, without applying for a visa. And even the renewal of the visa is really easy. It costs more or less $20, and you can renew for other 3 months. So there is not reciprocity between countries, and people holding a Central America passport must apply for a visa to travel to the United States. But obtaining one is a very complicated process, especially for the poorest people who can't match the economic requirements set by the U.S. government. Then I come back to my PowerPoint. Okay. Very quickly, so because we saw that in the morning, you can see the top 10 most powerful passport in the world. The most powerful passport now is the United Arab Emirates passport that allows people to travel 180 countries visa-free, followed by all the European passports and United States of America passport, Australia passport, and UK. For sure. And then I just show you the top 10 least powerful passport in the world. Afghanistan leads the list, followed by Syria, Iraq, Somalia, Pakistan, Yemen, Bangladesh, North Korea, Palestine, Libya, Eritrea. And this passport have a very low power of free circulation. So now move to Central America. We are here. And The Power of Passport, my documentary, my film, tells the story of the Central America poorest people who will never obtain a visa. And they are forced to migrate irregularly. The story follows the journey of undocumented migrants from Central America to the United States, with a special focus on the migration experience of three indigenous women and a family from Western Guatemala who traveled across Mexico with a coyote. Coyote is our Latin word to say smuggler. The film tells the story of their entire journey from Guatemala across Mexico, including deportation from the United States. In this film, in this documentary, I cover this border between Guatemala and Mexico. I crossed the border very easy with my European-Italian passport, but an half of my crew from Guatemala, they couldn't cross the border because we are an independent producer and was not possible for us to apply for a visa for them. So I went to Mexico alone with my camera from Spain. And it crossed because of the Spanish passport, you know. I focused my investigation on indigenous women because women represent half of all migrants from Latin America, and especially indigenous women face multi-levels of intersectional violence in their home country. Sharing their story was so important to me, and because they don't have so many chances to tell their story. And for this reason, there are not so many films focusing on indigenous migration experience. The documentary was filmed between October and November 2018 during Donald Trump presidency. Even if many events took place in recent years, such as the pandemic, for example, I believe that this documentary is still relevant today because during the Biden administration, there has been minimal progress in improving migration policies to ensure the safety and regularity of Central America migrants' journeys. So the story you are about to watch reflects exactly the experience of thousands of people who are migrating now in this moment. Lastly, this documentary captured the presence of the massive Central American migrant caravan that traveled to the US between October and November 2018. This phenomenon persists nowadays, as smaller caravans departing from their country quite regularly. Caravans have become a way for migrants to avoid paying the coyote, the smuggler, who charge around $20,000 for a journey now. I tell the story of deported people not to say that fences or walls are effective, because they aren't, in my opinion. It's my personal opinion, and they aren't, especially in this part of the world. When a migrant, when someone, a people, person, has a strong motivation, there is not wall that is able to stop them. So in my opinion, they are not effective, but I share this story because it was important for these people to speak. There is a big stigmatization on deported people, and my aim was just to give them an opportunity to tell their story. Just that. So the dynamics of migration through Mexico have changed in recent years, and the number of migrants has increased significantly after the pandemic of 2020. Here are some numbers to give you an idea. In the fiscal year 2022, U.S. Border Patrol agents arrested a record-breaking of 2.3 million migrants at the southwest border, just in the south. This year, numbers show a slight decrease, but they are still high. From October to last May, over 1.6 million people, more or less, yes, were apprehended at the southern border. The official number of apprehension doesn't represent the real magnitude of migration, as many individuals successfully crossed the border undetected. So even if the exact count of undocumented migrants remain uncertain, the significant volume of encounters at the U.S. border, Mexico-U.S. border, give us an idea of the magnitude of migration in this region. And it's not just people from Central America who are migrating. There is a shift in the migratory flow, with an increasing number of people coming from countries like Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and particularly Venezuela. I met so many people from Venezuela during this day, I mean like 1 week ago. They are stuck in the border, and that means they live in the border. It's another kind, it's another way to migrate, and because you walk a little bit, then you need to earn money to support your travel. And for example, a lot of people prefer to stay in Guatemala than Honduras or Salvador, and they stay more or less 1 month, more or less, and they try to sell like candies, something like that, to support their travel. And basically, they go close to the border, and they pay for a smuggler, a gatekeeper, I think. Today I learned this this word. And usually the gatekeeper charged them around $100 just to cross the river you saw in this documentary. Maybe it's not clear, so I just want to spend a few words on the multiple motivation that forced Central Americans to migrate from their homeland. So first, poverty and inequality. And according to the Inter-American Development Bank, approximately 74% of Central American migrants leave their country due to economic reason and lack of employment opportunity. I think a little bit more. I think that 90% of people is moving for this reason. Okay. For example, in Guatemala, the monthly minimum salary is less than $400, and the 70% of the population doesn't have a formal employment. For example, she is Señora Maria. Maria, one of the characters in this documentary, struggled to earn even $140 as a weaver, which falls well short of the minimum wage, you know. Another motivation is the political instability, violence, and corruption in this region. Central America has recorded the biggest democratic regression of the last 20 years, particularly evident in countries like Nicaragua or Salvador, where an authoritarian government has gained even more power. Additionally, there are an ongoing conflict between the national police and gangs, like, I don't know if you know, Mara Salvatrucha 13 or Barrio 18. There are two very strong gang in El Salvador, Honduras. And then there are the same conflict with different gangs in Haiti. Furthermore, all the Central American region is affected by drug trafficking, which further fuels instability and security. Then, the impact of climate change is very strong in this region. In 2020, hurricanes destroyed thousands of homes along coast and affected thousands of hectares of crops from subsistence agriculture. Drought and extreme climate events continue to produce hunger, malnutrition, and poverty in Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, El Salvador. This area is called Dry Corredor Seco. And then gender-based violence is one of the main causes behind migration of Central America women. In El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, these countries are among the five countries with the highest rate of femicide in Latin America. And then it's very important, and sometimes, we forget that, but a very important reason to migrate is joining relatives. I mean, it's like a pull factor, it's not a push factor, even though I don't agree with this kind of definition. Anyway, according to the Inter-American Development Bank, 2 out of 5 migrants undertake the undocumented journey to the United States for family reunification and employment opportunities provided by their relatives living there. It's important to point to note that remittances in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador contribute 20-25% of the gross domestic product. So, therefore, despite increased border control in United States and Mexico, migration from this country will persist until remittances continue to play a significant role in the local and national economy. So, to conclude, just a few words on the Central American migrants caravan. The element I want to highlight on this phenomenon are the following. Basically, caravan is a new method of migration. Caravans represent an alternative to the traditional journey with the coyote, with the smuggler. Caravans continue to persist. More than 30 caravans have undertaken the journey from Central America or Mexico in the last 4 years. The last one departed from Tapachula, it's a city in the border between Guatemala and Mexico, on the 23rd of April. This is a very cheaper, safer, visible way to migrate. But in my opinion, it's just my opinion, and my opinion is based on my observation. Sometimes it's not efficient, it's not effective. Traveling with a caravan gives people more visibility and help them to protect themselves against abuses, including gender violence, robbery, and kidnapping, often perpetrated, as you watch, by the coyote or drug traffickers. However, visibility also implies risk because it exposes them to the violence of the Mexican and U.S. migration police who try to stop them. I saw many times this stuff. I mean, many caravans have been forcefully dispersed by the army or the border police. I saw that between Guatemala and Mexico. So basically, traveling under the radar and hiding with the coyote remains the main method of migration in this region. Caravans consist mainly of family, women, and children, as migrating this way is safer for them. And then it's very interesting, this point, in my opinion, caravans are an example of a collective organization. Through Facebook and WhatsApp groups, people collectively decide on meeting points, migration routes. They share experience, and sometimes they elect a representative. So at some point, I can say that caravans become a democratic and active approach to migration. And to sum up, I would like to mention that some individuals choose to separate themselves from the caravan near the border, and they pay a coyote for the last phases of the journey to have a bigger chance to enter the United States. So this is another way to migrate. It's a hybrid way with caravans and coyote. I think it's the most effective way to enter United States. And so thank you for your attention.
This lecture was part of the 9th EMN Educational Seminar on Migration, entitled Protection of Migrants in Vulnerable Situations. The seminar is organized by the International Organization for Migration Slovakia as the coordinator of the Slovak EMN National Contact Point. This activity is funded by the European Union and co-funded by the Ministry of Interior of the Slovak Republic. Thank you for listening.